The lesson this morning is entitled, How Do You Listen? How do you listen? When we consider how we listen, it's not only enough to hear what is being said. It's how we choose to listen that is also important. If you'll turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, Christ understood this principle. It wasn't enough just to hear, because the Pharisees were listening at that time with purpose and point to discredit everything that he said. But what Jesus was going for was people who were listening and hoping to do his will and to improve their behavior. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, we read, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Put an emphasis there on verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." They heard the truth, and their desire was to act upon that truth. So we're going to talk about the different types of listening, the different types of ears that we find in the Bible. The first is dull ears. If you'll turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. So what are dull ears? Dull ears are those who choose to be ignorant, or those who just listen lazily. I can hear. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I hear. I need to do that. Doesn't mean I'm going to. But I hear it. But I'm not going to let it affect me. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "About this we have much to say. It is hard to explain, since you have become dull in hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." You know, we shouldn't have to beg people to come to church services. We shouldn't have to beg people to come to Bible class for opportunities to learn more from the Word of God. We shouldn't have to beg people to evangelize to those who are lost. Christians shouldn't have to beg other Christians to do what's right. We shouldn't have to beg people to be active as the Bible tells them to be active. This is a sign of dull hearing. And there's a danger in dull hearing. If you'll turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. And over the next few verses, what I want to zone in on is that dull hearing doesn't have a specific age. There are young people with dull hearing. Got the parents of teenagers amening. Or my wife amening, one or the other. But this also goes towards more seasoned Christians that have become complacent. Dull hearing can affect everyone of every age. We look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with error of lawless people and lose your own stability." But let's key in on verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." This is a problem that can affect the new convert just as much as it can affect someone who has been obedient to the gospel and been a Christian for 50 years. It is very easy to slip into this dull thinking, this dull hearing of, "Yeah, I know what I should do. Yeah, I know I should do that, but..." Insert any excuse you want. There's all kinds of excuses we can come up with for not doing as we should. Let's look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13, we have the preacher, as the writer of Ecclesiastes refers to himself, says, "A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." We need to keep learning and gaining knowledge. And when we learn and we gain knowledge, it makes our actions more effective. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and we as Christians can study our Bibles, but if we're not acting upon what we're studying, we're becoming dull of hearing. We see what it says, We see what we need to do, but somebody else can do it. But it's somebody else's job. But Paul charges young Timothy here with specifics. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We stay sharp by working every day. We stay sharp by being diligent in our studies. We have a people who want a full-time God, but want to give God part-time service. Those are the dull of hearing. They want all of the blessings from God, yet don't want to do as they should in return. If we're going to live the Christian life, if we want a full-time God, we need to be a full-time Christian. God desires full custody, not weekend visitations. We have a responsibility to be Christians all the time. And sometimes that means putting forth that extra effort. In putting forth that extra effort, we can be over that dull of hearing. This guy just looked terribly bored. I'm sure everyone in here has heard the truth. It's a matter of if we're going to act upon it or not. The second type of hearing is itching ears. The way I come up with these pictures is I get into Google. And some people use Bing, but the only reason I would use Bing is to type in, how do I get to Google? But I get into Google and I type itching ears. And if you love Bing, it's not a salvation thing. But here we have itching ears, and I thought, saw the three snakes doing that. I was like, perfect. That fits exactly what I was wanting. Let's look to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And what we're going to start getting into is selective hearing. Is choosing what we're going to listen to. We value the information that agrees with us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We find this often, don't we? We have friends that they'll say, well, what does the Bible say about this? And you'll show them what the Bible says. And I don't like that. I don't like that. My father-in-law, Robert Stapleton, is the director at the Brown Trail School of Preaching, where Perry is going to be going. So if you're interested in supporting a student, be sure to talk to Perry. See how I worked that in there, Perry? It's pretty easy. You got to do it that way. But people will call the director of the School of Preaching and say, this is the question I've got. And they'll ask about a scripture. And he'll give the truth. It's exactly what it says. They'll say, well, I've talked to a few people and they say the same thing. But I'm going to give a couple more people a call. So it's basically, I'm going to go until I hear what I like. I am going to go until I hear what pleases me, what fits me the best. There are some congregations, people will say, well, I've gone to visit there. And I don't hear anything wrong. But there's also the other side of the coin. Are you hearing stuff that's all that right? If we're going to truly be Christians, we have to be challenged. We have to be uplifted. It doesn't do any good to have somebody come up here and bang the pulpit every week telling you how horrible you are. But on the flip side, we can't just preach ooey-gooey goodness all the time either. We have to be. There has to be a balance. Or we run into the itching ears. We run into having that selective hearing of, yes, I understand that Jesus died for me. Yes, I understand that I've got to believe. Yes, I understand that I have to repent. Not so big a fan of having to be baptized. The Bible says it, but I don't like it. You know, the Bible says I have to do certain things. I'm not a real big fan of doing those things, so I will find somewhere that doesn't require me to do those things. Perfect. I'm never challenged. We need to be a people that don't have itching ears, that just want to hear the good things, that just want to hear things that fit with our belief system. If we are going to be listeners as God would have us to be, it's good to hear the good stuff. But we also have to understand that there are times we need to reflect. There are times that we need to look at our lives to ensure that we're living as we should. If you turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to find, do people with itching ears even know what they believe? This verse is going to be a test for itching ears. When we look to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are people that will follow a convenient lie rather than hear an uncomfortable truth. And don't take everything I say at face value. Don't do it. Chris and I study diligently. I'm sure Brother Steve has studied diligently for his lesson tonight. But do not take everything we say and run it to the bank. I hope that you're writing down scriptures and that you're going to go home and check to make sure that what we've said is right. Study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. Be a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We see this in 1 John 4:1. Don't just listen to anything. Study for yourself. Had the opportunity to talk to someone this week, and they were asking about different things in the Old Testament. Why did God do it this way? Why did God do it that way? It's like, well, you have to understand the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I was able to explain to him the purpose and the reasoning that things were done in the Old Testament and why those things don't have anything to do with us in the New Testament. Like, why did God hate crabfish? It's like, well, God didn't hate crabfish, but everything that God had a plan for in the Old Testament was to make His people holy and separated and different. Let's look over to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. I love the book of Galatians. Paul is writing to a people that were obedient to the gospel. They had done as they should, yet they allowed these false teachers to come in. And they were telling them things that were wrong and telling them things that were incorrect. And Paul charged them to tell them the truth. He's told them everything that they needed to be doing, things they needed to be avoiding. And what he says here in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth." A lot of times people will cast anger and blame on anybody else but themselves for their actions. And those with itching ears will go somewhere where they're not going to feel bad. And if a preacher preaches the truth or preaches something that they don't like, either the preacher's got to go or they do. And that's a horrible situation to be in. If I'm about to crash my car, I want you to tell me. If I'm about to do something that is going to send me to hell for all eternity, you'd better tell me. Those who are seeking itching ears do not want to hear that kind of stuff. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth, and they don't want to hear facts. Now let's turn over to the 141st Psalm in verse 15. 141st Psalm in verse 15. You know, learning may make us change our way of thinking. When we study the Word of God and see what God's plan is for us, what God's expectations are for us, when we further understand why God did the things that He did, it should change our thinking. It should change the way that we think. And I've got a quote in here in all caps and in parentheses. "Don't confuse my well-held, strong opinion with the facts." Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't show me what the Bible says. I want to believe this. It doesn't matter how badly you want to believe something if it's not correct. If it doesn't go along with what the Bible says. There are many things that I would love to do. I would love to do, but I can't because it doesn't go along with Scripture. Because this is what we're going to be judged by. We look at the 141st Psalm in verse 15. "Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. If I am wrong, tell me." That's the point the psalmist was making here. If I am wrong, smite me. Do it in kindness, but smite me. Let me know that what I've done is wrong. Those with itching ears don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be reproved. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 really puts an emphasis on those with itching ears. And those with itching ears are dangerous. People with itching ears are dangerous people. Because they put up a front that they are religious, that they love God, that they are Christians. But in turn, what they are doing is just saying the good stuff, but not saying in the things that you have to work on. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, these people having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. Avoid such people. We don't need to look for the worst in people, but eventually people will show their true colors. People will show their true colors. And those with itching ears have a way to do it. They'll say, I don't like what you had to say. Well, let's open our Bible to find it. No! I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to talk about emotions. If we're living by the Bible, I want to talk about the Bible. Am I crazy? If the Bible is what we're going to be judged by, shouldn't that be what we talk about? Don't have covered ears. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 58. Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 58. We're gonna read through that way, but the way to study this for this point is you see what the people have done, the result, down in verse 57, but you see what has happened in verse 51. Stephen talking to the people before he was stoned to death for telling the truth. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. I've got that underlined here in my notes. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and in ears. You resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the laws delivered by angels and did not keep it. He said, you persecuted every good guy. There wasn't a good guy you didn't persecute. The Savior came, the one you were looking for. He came and you killed him. It was because of your ears, your covered ears. Verse 54, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of the Lord and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who ended up being Paul. So notice that with a loud voice and they stopped their hearing. You know, some people claim to be open-minded. They're so open-minded their brains have fallen out. We consider this verse right here, with a loud voice they were yelling, but their ears were stopped. But their ears were stopped. If we look over to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 16, if you'll turn with me over there, we see a similar principle that's being charged here in Deuteronomy. Starting verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I'm commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set in his heart in love of your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and no longer be stubborn. I can't hear you. It's just another sign of being stubborn. You know, if we consider 1962, I brought up JFK on Wednesday night, but he gave a commencement speech at Yale. This is a picture from the commencement speech at Yale. I thought that was pretty neat. June 11th, 1962. What he said, for the great enemy of the truth is very often not a lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. Too often we hold fast to the cliches of our forebears. We subject all facts to a fabricated set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. I love to have Bible studies. I love to have Bible studies. And sometimes people will say, well, this is what I did in my home church. And I'll say, why? Why did you do that? Show me in Scripture why you did that. This is going to be our judge. Show me in Scripture. And they'll get upset. We subject all facts to prefabrication, set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. I love being a member of the New Testament church. I love being a member of the Lord's church because when someone asks me a question, we look to the Bible for the answer. We don't have to go to a creed book written by men. We don't have to go to catechisms. We don't have to wait for somebody somewhere to have some vision and puff up smoke into the air. I don't even know if that's how that works, but it shows how much I know about it. I'm sorry. If we're going to study what God would have us to do, we go to the Bible. We don't need to cover our ears because we don't like what is being said. Let's look over to Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. The gospel will never become good news to you until it stops being bad news to hear about freedom from sin. The gospel will never be good news until it stops being bad news to hear about freedom from sin. We live in a society of people that don't want to be told that they're wrong. When we can humble ourselves to understand that maybe we don't know it all. Maybe we don't know it all. That is when we can find where truth is. The good news isn't going to be good until we stop considering getting right bad. But in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts and sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. Zechariah was talking to the people that had come out of captivity. He was talking to the remnant, and he said, this is what happened to your parents' generation. They didn't listen. Their hearts were hard. They didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted to walk in their own ways. They wouldn't even hear what the prophets had to say. And that led to their destruction. We can't cover our ears when it comes to the Word of God. We can't do it. If we want to be right with God, we have to do what the Bible says. As Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 states, Ezra studied the Word. Ezra lived the Word. And Ezra taught the Word. If we're going to be Christians, as the Bible said, we hear, we live, we're ready to teach. We're ready to share with those around us what we have come in contact with. But to be upset to hear that you need to do something that the Bible clearly says and to cover your ears is a terrible way to listen. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, the fourth type of ears we find in the Bible is willing ears. This is the type of listening that we as Christians should strive to be doing. Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. You know, part of the plan of salvation involves listening, it involves hearing. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It is listening. We need to be giving people an opportunity to listen, but those we talk to are going to have to listen. It's not by anything miraculous. It's not by any superpower. It's listening. What does the Bible say? No more and no less. What does the Bible say? In John chapter 10 and verse 27, if you'll turn with me over to John chapter 10 and verse 27. This is a very good verse. If you are a Bible underliner, if you underline Bible verses in your Bible, This is a good one to have underlined. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Last night, Lisa went out to eat with some friends, so I had all the kids to myself. Yay. And we decided to watch Babe. I love my kids. We decided to watch Babe. I don't know if you remember that movie from the 90s. Yeah, it's a good one. And you see the sheep, they knew the shepherd's voice. They understood the voice. They heard the voice. And it makes me think about that today. Is if I were to go over to Ireland and see a flock of sheep all woolly and ready to be sheared, and I'm like, hey, sheep. Come here, sheep. I don't even know if that's how you call sheep, but that's what I'd do. Do you think the sheep are going to listen to me? No, of course they're not. But the shepherd comes up and calls them. They're going to come because they know his voice. Yet we have people in our community that will say, I love Jesus. I love God. But you say, this is what the Bible says. And they don't like it. That's not a condemnation on you. That's not hearing the shepherd. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, as Jesus said. Jesus said, John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. If we want to be the sheep, we have to listen to the shepherd. We have to be obedient to what God would have us to do. That is the mindset of those with willing ears. If the Bible tells me I need to do something, I do it. Don't fight with it. Don't say, well, this is what generations of family members have done. We don't say all these different types of things to make excuses to not do it. We do it. So you've got to choose the way that you listen. You've got to choose the way you listen. Do you have dull ears? Lazy, inattentive? I hear you. I hear you. I ain't going to do anything about it, but I hear you. Do you have itching ears? I don't like what was said, so I will go somewhere where I like what is said. We need to shape our belief system and go along in accordance with the Bible. That way, the Word of God is spoken. We like what's said. So, we don't need to have covered ears, that aggressively not listening to the truth, which is like a child. The people heard the truth up in Acts chapter 7, and they killed Stephen for telling them. It's a childish thing to cover your ears. Remember, as they said, they yelled out and closed their ears at the same time. We know some adults that way. We need to be a people that don't live our lives that way. Hear. Question ourselves. Study the Word of God. Be willing listeners. The lesson is yours this morning. I hope that it has been taken in the intention that it was delivered to encourage, to help us see where we may miss the mark, to go to where we need to be, to have our ears to be willing ears. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. Do as the Bible says. It's not some magic secret club rules with a password at the door. What I'm about to say, we can say anywhere in the community, and it's not going to change. It's what the Bible says. You must hear. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we just read that. Faith comes by hearing. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 says. Repent of your sins, as Christ said in Luke 13:3, repent, or likewise perish. We must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as charged in Romans 10:9-10. With the mouth we confess, and with the heart we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. We also must be baptized, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state, to walk in a newness of life. As Galatians 3:27 says, when we put on Christ in baptism, that is when we put on Christ. We will never find somewhere in the Bible where someone did anything different. Some may say the thief on the cross, thief on the cross couldn't have done what Romans 10, 9, and 10 said because Jesus hadn't died yet. He confessed, but how is he going to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead if Jesus was still alive? We see when people become Christians, they're baptized. That's where they put on Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism, which corresponds to this, that water of the flood, now saves us. If we have willing ears, that's what we're going to do. Because that is what the Bible says. Not my opinion. Not anyone's opinion. It's what the Bible says. But if you are a Christian and maybe you hadn't had the type of ears that you've needed, maybe you've been childish and covered your ears. Maybe you've had itching ears and didn't enjoy being told what you needed to do. Maybe it's time to, if you need prayers, to get those willing ears. If you need people to work with you and to check on you and do whatever it takes to get you on your spiritual feet, take this time to ask for help. Take this time to ask for prayers. And I always end it with this. Get right with God before it's eternally too late. We don't know when Jesus is going to return, and the road to heaven is going to be paved with good intentions. Get right today. If you're not a Christian, I'd encourage you to become one. If you're not living in a right way, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.